you again on Monday morning.
This is VOA News. I'm Marissa Melton.
The yeas are 68. The nays are 29. Under the previous order requiring 60 votes for the adoption of the motion to concur in the House amendment to the Senate amendment, number 4 with an amendment is agreed to.
That's Senate Appropriations Committee Chairman Patrick Leahy announcing the passage of a funding bill that will avert a partial government shutdown. The U.S. Senate passed the $1.66 trillion government spending bill Thursday and sent it to the House of Representatives to approve. The legislation provides funding through September 30th, 2023, for the U.S. military and an array of non-military programs. The legislation provides Ukraine with $44.9 billion in wartime aid and bans the use of Chinese-owned social media app TikTok on federal government devices. The head of the United Nations nuclear watchdog met in Moscow on Thursday with officials from Russia's military and state atomic energy agency. VOA's Diane Roberts has more.
International Atomic Energy Agency Director General Rafael Grossi is trying to get a protection zone set up around a Russian-occupied nuclear power plant in Ukraine. Grossi and the head of Russia's Rosatom were seen holding talks in Moscow in footage aired by Russian television. Rosatom described Thursday's talks as substantive, useful, and frank. The conversations surround measures needed to safeguard Ukraine's Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant and the surrounding region. Grossi said the zone needs to focus solely on preventing a nuclear accident. Diane Roberts, VOA News.
You can keep up with that story and all the stories we're covering at our website, voanews.com. We also have an app that you can download. From Washington, this is VOA News. Senior UN officials have called for the international community to contribute a specialized armed force for Haiti to help restore order to the Caribbean nation, where they say insecurity has reached unprecedented levels. In a presentation to the UN Security Council this week, UN Deputy Secretary General Amina J. Mohammed said, while there were high hopes a year ago for political reforms, stability, and development by the end of 2022, instead, Haiti's in a deepening crisis of unprecedented scale and complexity that has caused for serious alarm. The White House says a private Russian military company is getting help from another rogue state to boost the fight in Ukraine. AP Washington correspondent Sagar Meghani.
Mercenaries from the Wagner Group have been fighting in Ukraine alongside Russian troops. And National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says as Moscow's military falters,
President Putin has increasingly been turning to Wagner,
which is now turning to North Korea.
Last month, North Korea delivered infantry rockets and missiles into Russia for use by Wagner.
Kirby says the U.S. does not assess the materiel from North Korea will change the war's dynamics, but is concerned more weapons are coming. The Biden administration notes the North is banned from importing or exporting weapons per sanctions imposed by the U.N. Security Council, of which Russia is a member. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
The U.S. House of Representatives has approved a bill requiring audits of any president's income tax filings. AP correspondent Norman Hall.
The legislation would turn what had been a long-standing post-Watergate practice into established federal policy. The action comes after disclosures that the IRS never fully reviewed Donald Trump's tax returns during his presidency. The Democratic-led measure was approved mostly along party lines. It follows a years-long investigation of Trump's tenure as the first president in recent history not to disclose his tax returns to the public. The measure faced staunch opposition from Republicans and has little chance of becoming law in the final days of this Congress. Norman Hall, Washington.
U.S. President Joe Biden has wished the American people a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays in an address on Thursday. Biden said the message of Christmas is always important, and he hopes this time of year will unite the country.
So this Christmas, let's spread a little kindness. This Christmas, let's be that helping hand, that strong shoulder, that friendly voice, when no one else seems to care for those who are struggling, in trouble, and need. It just might be the best gift you can ever give.
And I'm Marissa Melton, VOA News.
Today is Friday, December 23rd, and this is VOA's International Edition. I am Chinua Adofo in Washington. Coming up in the next half hour, the U.S. calls on the Taliban to reverse ban on women's university education.
Any prospect that the Taliban seeks for improved relations with the world, with the international community, which is something that they want and we know that they need, that is not going to happen if they continue on this course.
Ukraine energy operator begins emergency shutdowns following a barrage of Russian attacks.
Russian bombing of Ukrainian energy infrastructure in recent months has left more than 10 million Ukrainians without electricity. Many had no heating or water as winter set in.
And the U.S. Senate passes a $1.7 trillion bill to finance federal agencies and aid Ukraine. We'll have these stories and more next on International Edition. Stay tuned. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said on Thursday the Taliban are sentencing Afghanistan's women to, quote, a dark future without opportunity, unquote, by banning them from attending universities. Speaking at a news conference, Blinken said the Taliban-run administration will fail in its effort to improve relations with the rest of the world unless the militants reverse the ban.
The decision that we just heard come from the Taliban on denying opportunities for women to go to universities, girls to go to school. I think what you've already heard is a chorus of condemnation from around the world, and not only from us, but from countries, virtually every continent, including the Muslim countries, which I think is in and of itself important and powerful. The bottom line is that no country is going to be able to succeed, much less thrive, if it denies half its population the opportunity to contribute. And to be clear, and we're engaged with other countries on this right now, there are going to be costs if this is not reversed, if this is not changed. I'm not going to detail them today, but we will pursue them in coordination with allies and partners. And I can tell you as well that any prospect that the Taliban seeks for improved relations with the world, with the international community, which is something that they want and we know that they need, that is not going to happen if they continue on this course.
That's U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken. The White House says that a private Russian military company has taken delivery of an arms shipment from North Korea to help bolster its forces as it fights side-by-side with Russian troops in Ukraine. The White House National Security Council spokesman John Kirby said on Thursday that U.S. intelligence officials determined that North Korea completed an initial arms shipment to the Wagner Group that included rockets and missiles last month. The White House is expressing alarm about Wagner's growing involvement in the war, as it has been particularly active in the eastern Donbass region. Kirby said in certain instances, Russian military officials have even been, quote, subordinate to Wagner's command, unquote. Following recent Russian drone attacks on energy infrastructure, Ukraine's energy operator Ukrenergo will start conducting emergency shutdowns in the Kyiv area. Russian drones have repeatedly attacked the country's capital and other Ukrainian cities, often targeting critical power and water facilities. Last week, VOA's Eastern Bureau Chief Miroslav Gonzadze visited key energy facilities that supply electricity across the country.
Russian bombing of Ukrainian energy infrastructure in recent months has left more than 10 million Ukrainians without electricity. Many had no heating or water as winter set in. Energy facility in central Ukraine has been hit multiple times in recent months. The CEO of Ukraine's energy operator Ukrenergo, Volodymyr Kudrytsky, showed VOA one of the substations that are critical to the Ukrainian power grid. The substation's transformer, essential for bringing energy to millions of Ukrainians, was destroyed during a recent attack.
Russians already launched more than 1,000 heavy missiles and kamikaze drones, specifically at Ukrainian electric grid, mostly Ukrenergo objects, the transmission objects, but also power plants. And this makes this campaign against power system the largest in human history. Nobody ever has experienced what we are experiencing now.
Kudrytsky says Ukrenergo must introduce rolling power cuts to maintain the balance between generation and consumption in the system, and this affects millions of Ukrainians. Russian and Ukrainian energy system used to be connected. Kudrytsky says Russian energy experts are advising the Russian military on what part of the system to attack to inflict the most suffering.
They also are picking up time when it's cold outside, to disconnect from the grid water supply heating systems and therefore destroy this critical infrastructure, these types of critical infrastructure as well. Because electricity grid is the most basic type of critical infrastructure. Without it, nothing else works.
Most of Ukraine electricity is generated by nuclear energy. Ukraine has 15 reactors at 4 nuclear power plants. A month ago, after a massive Russian attack, the Rivne nuclear power plant, located 60 kilometers from the Belarusian border, was forced to stop operation due to severe damage to the Ukraine energy system. The biggest power station in western Ukraine, Rivne, supplies more than 15,000 gigawatt hours of electricity per year to the national grid. The station's director says they work with the military to protect the facility.
Miroslava Gungadze, VOA News, Ukraine.
The Israeli arms industry is growing fast, due in large part to Russia's war in Ukraine and increasing Iranian military threats to both the Middle East and beyond. The Israeli defense company Rafael recently signed a deal with the U.S. Lockheed Martin Corporation to develop, test and manufacture the Iron Beam laser system, the newest example of Israel's anti-missile and anti-aircraft technology. Linda Granstein reports from Jerusalem.
Israeli arms exports were up 30% last year to $11.3 billion and are on track for even more in the next year. Israeli security analysts attribute much of the increased demand for weapons to the war in Ukraine. Analysts say that one of the attractions of Israeli weapon systems is that they are proven in actual battle conditions, in contrast to weapons from other exporters. According to analysts, Israeli military technology is seen as an important tool against the growing threat of Iranian military power. The concern about Iran is shared by both European and Middle Eastern countries, including the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, and Morocco, countries which signed the Abraham Accords peace deals with Israel 2 years ago. The Israeli arms industry will get another boost from the recent deal between Rafael and the U.S. company Lockheed Martin to collaborate on the new Iron Beam anti-missile laser system. Linda Gradstein for VOA News, Jerusalem.
Thank you, Linda. Australian police said Thursday the suspected head of a global drug trafficking syndicate has been taken into custody. Tsai Chu Lop, a Chinese-born Canadian national, was one of the world's most wanted men. Phil Mercer reports from Sydney.
Sir Chi Lo is the alleged head of the Sam Gore Syndicate, which law enforcement agencies have alleged dominates the hard drugs market across the Asia-Pacific region, from Japan to New Zealand. Australian police have said the syndicate has imported more illegal drugs into Australia than any other criminal gang. Sir Chi Lo, who's 59, was extradited Thursday from the Netherlands. He was detained at Australia's request at Amsterdam's Schiphol Airport in 2021. His arrival in Australia brings to an end a decade-long manhunt for one of the world's most wanted men, who was thought to have been living in Macau, Hong Kong and Taiwan. Chrissy Barrett, an assistant Australian Federal Police or AFP commissioner, told reporters Thursday Sir's extradition is a significant development.
You know, the significance of this arrest would be one of the most high-profile arrests in the history of the AFP, knowing what we know about the syndicate and the impact that it's had on this country over such a long period of time. His extradition today is the culmination of a long-term AFP investigation into a transnational organised crime syndicate called The Company, or also known as the Sam Gore Syndicate.
Sir faces charges relating to the alleged trafficking of methamphetamine into Australia in 2012 and 2013. He denies the allegations and is due back in court in Melbourne early next year. 10 people have been arrested in relation to the alleged smuggling operation. Barrett said the goal of the police was to make Australia a hostile place for drug traffickers. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland is considering his next move after the January 6th Select House Committee referred former President Donald Trump to the Department of Justice for criminal investigations and potential prosecution for trying to overturn the 2020 election. The Biden administration is trying to avoid appearing as though it is targeting a potential 2024 political opponent. White House Bureau Chief Pasi Weerasukwara has this report.
We love Trump! We love Trump! just 2 weeks shy of the two-year anniversary of the January 6th storming of the Capitol by supporters of Donald Trump, an unprecedented chapter in American history. A committee of bipartisan lawmakers recommending that the Justice Department prosecute the former president on multiple criminal charges related to his role in attempting to overturn the result of the 2020 election won by President Joe Biden. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
We're going to be very, very careful to not to politicize this process at all. This administration and the DOJ conduct criminal investigation independently, free of any sort of any kind of political interference or any interference at all.
In the meantime, Attorney General Merrick Garland must decide whether to act on the January 6th committee's recommendation. Peter Loach, director of the Project on Ethics in Political Communication at George Washington University, via Skype.
The best thing that President Biden can do is do what he's doing, which is say, you know, the House committee made a really compelling case. In my view, it's pretty clear. I agree with their conclusions. We have to continue to defend and promote democracy. And now it's up to the Department of Justice and get out of the way.
The attorney general is appointed by the president with Senate confirmation. The Department of Justice gained more independence with steps enacted after the Watergate scandal in the 1970s when President Richard Nixon tried to use his top legal officer to pursue a political agenda. There's also the Ethics in Government Act of 1978, which allows investigations into misconduct to operate independently of presidential control. Garland used it to appoint special counsel Jack Smith to lead the Trump investigations.
Such an appointment underscores the department's commitment to both independence and accountability in particularly sensitive matters.
Trump calls it a witch hunt.
Over the years, I've given millions and millions of pages of documents, tax returns, and everything else, and they have found nothing, which means I've proven to be one of the most honest and innocent people ever in our country.
No former U.S. president has ever been indicted for criminal conduct. Many worry it will worsen political divisions, but some observers say it's worth it. William Howell, professor of American politics at the University of Chicago, via Skype.
There's at least the possibility of the genuine independence of the Department of Justice and a careful prosecution waged against a former president who, in important ways, was lawless. That will have the effect of shoring up the rule of law and protecting our democracy. That's the bet the Department of Justice is making.
The committee recommended Trump be charged with assisting or aiding an insurrection, obstruction of an official proceeding, conspiracy to defraud the United States, and conspiracy to make false statements. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News at the White House.
In other news, the U.S. Senate has passed a $1.7 trillion bill to finance federal agencies through September, aid Ukraine and provide assistance to communities recovering from hurricanes, floods and other natural disasters. The bill passed by a vote of 68-29 and now goes to the House for action later in the day. Lawmakers are working to complete action on the bill before a partial government shutdown begins at midnight Friday. Supporters say the bill will boost national security with a 10% increase slated for defense programs, but detractors criticize the amount of overall spending, with the country already facing a $31 trillion national debt. This is VOA's International Edition. I am Chinedu Ofor in Washington. The World Health Organization has urged China to share data on the origin of the coronavirus that caused the devastating COVID-19 pandemic. WHO's Director General issued this call during a year-end press conference Wednesday to assess the global health situation in 2022. Lisa Schneier reports for VOA from Geneva.
WHO Chief Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus sought to put an optimistic spin on 2022. He said the number of weekly reported COVID-19 deaths has dropped almost 90% since the peak of the pandemic at the end of January. He noted, however, that too many uncertainties and gaps remain to be able to declare the pandemic over. He said gaps in vaccination rates are putting millions of people at high risk of severe disease and death. He also said gaps in the understanding of how this pandemic began are jeopardizing the ability of scientists to prevent future outbreaks.
We continue to call on China to share the data and conduct the studies we have requested, and which we continue to request. As I have said many times before, all hypotheses about the origins of this pandemic remain on the table.
The novel coronavirus that caused the pandemic was first identified in the central Chinese city of Wuhan in December 2019. Since then, there have been nearly 650 million confirmed cases of COVID-19, including more than 6.6 million deaths. China has rejected previous calls for investigations into the origins of COVID-19, describing these demands as politically motivated. It also has vehemently refuted reports that the virus may have escaped from a biolab in the country. Tedros expressed concern over the evolving situation of COVID-19 in China. He said the WHO was increasingly receiving reports of severe disease spreading across the country.
In order to make a comprehensive risk assessment of the situation on the ground, WHO needs more detailed information on disease severity, hospital admissions, and requirements for ICU support. WHO is supporting China to focus its efforts on vaccinating people at the highest risk across the country.
COVID-19 will continue to pose a danger next year and beyond. However, Tedros said the world has made tangible steps toward controlling and containing the spread of this deadly disease. He said a new fund for pandemic prevention, preparedness, and response has been created. This international legally binding agreement commits nations to work together to address the threat of future pandemics. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
The African Union and the Economic Community of West African States have condemned an alleged coup attempt in Gambia. The Gambian government says it arrested four troops planning to overthrow President Adama Barrow. Political analysts say a lack of security reform is to blame for the latest coup attempt in the small West African nation. Mohamed Yusuf reports from VOA's Africa News Center in Nairobi, Kenya.
The Gambian government said in a statement on Wednesday, based on intelligence reports, that some soldiers in the army were plotting to overthrow the democratically elected government. Gambian political analyst Said Mati Jao says people are worried about their economic situation but do not support military involvement in the country's political affairs.
There are so many other issues that people are worried about. But of course, we know for sure that majority of Gambians are anti-coup, I mean, based on survey data. But of course, this has been part of the conversation, but it was even shocking to hear that it was being led by a Lance Kopman. So today there are people that are also questioning whether this was actually, even a plot.
Four soldiers have been arrested and the army is in pursuit of three alleged accomplices. Gambian President Adama Barrow was re-elected in December 2021, securing a second five-year term. Barrow first came to power in 2016 after defeating the country's authoritarian President Yahya Jammeh, who ruled the country for 22 years. Coup attempts are common in the West African nation. Jammeh himself took power in a coup in 1994 and averted several attempts to overthrow him. In 2017, eight soldiers who had a link to the former president tried to overthrow Barrow. Zhao says lack of security reforms is to blame for Wednesday's coup attempt.
People are raising questions in terms of the speed of this reform, and I think some of these things are also part of those what is increasing the insecurity and the need to further reform this process. But otherwise, I mean, I think the other issue is more of it raises questions as to our broader transitional justice process, because there are a lot of things that are supposed to be done.
West Africa has seen a rush of coups and coup attempts over the past 2 years. New governments seized power in Guinea, Mali and Burkina Faso, while Guinea-Bissau averted a coup attempt in February this year. Mohamed Yusuf for VA News, Nairobi.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Encounter. Next up, please join me for the best of Encounter 2022, from Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine, including war crimes against civilians, to women-led protests in the Islamic Republic of Iran. You will hear excerpts from the most memorable programs of the year. The best of Encounter 2022, this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Kim Lewis. Join me and our panel of journalists as we discuss the top stories of the week, including the committee investigating the January 6, 2021 attack
on the U.S. Capitol referred former President Donald Trump to the Department of Justice on four charges, including aiding the insurrection. This and more on Issues in the News this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel. Next up, we present excerpts of programs from 2022, such as the work of the Select Committee to investigate the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol, Russia's unprovoked invasion of Ukraine, the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to end America's constitutional right to abortion, and much more. The best of Press Conference USA 2022, this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
This has been International Edition on The Voice of America. On behalf of the entire production team, thank you so much for listening. Visit our website for in-depth coverage of world events and news 24 hours at voanews.com. And check out voaafrica.com for more English language programming. You can find International Edition and our current affairs programs, Encounter, Press Conference USA, and Issues in the News on voanews.com. Until next time, I'm Chinedofo in Washington, wishing you a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The international community has been rightly concerned over the threats to international peace and security posed by the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, including the launch of ballistic missiles, preparations for a nuclear test, and cyber attacks against cryptocurrency infrastructure that fund their weapons of mass destruction programs. But 31 countries, including the United States, Japan, the Republic of Korea, and dozens of other nations across the globe, recently turned their attention to the deplorable human rights abuses suffered by those living in the DPRK, and they issued a joint statement on the matter. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, delivered the joint statement following a closed-door U.N. Security Council meeting. On behalf of the 31 countries, Ambassador Thomas-Greenfield noted that the DPRK government is one of the worst violators of human rights in the world. More than 100,000 people are held in political prison camps, where they suffer violations including torture, forced labor, summary executions, starvation, and gender-based violence. Those not in political prison camps are refused fundamental human rights, including the freedom of expression, information, and even freedom of thought, she stated. Citizens from other countries have also suffered abuses, including summary executions, assassinations, surveillance, intimidation, abductions, and forced repatriation. On behalf of her fellow representatives, Ambassador Thomas-Greenfield expressed particular concern with the human rights situation of citizens in the Republic of Korea detained in the DPRK, abductions and enforced disappearance of Japanese and Republic of Korea citizens, and unrepatriated prisoners of war. The statement by the 31 representatives noted that the regime's ongoing human rights violations are inextricably linked with the country's unlawful and destabilizing weapons program. The coercive system of the regime diverts resources to weapons development, even as the North Korean citizens suffer from severe economic hardship and malnutrition. The modern world has no place for such brutality. We commend and support all efforts to hold perpetrators accountable, the representative stated. These human rights violations threaten international peace and security, and it is time for the Council to address it publicly. We urge all Security Council members to support an open briefing in 2023 where we can discuss the human rights violations and abuses committed by the DPRK, the implications for peace and security, and explore ways to incorporate human rights into the peace and security diplomacy in the Korean Peninsula.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.